From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A group of former lawmakers, government workers, and healthcare industry leaders have launched an ambitious and slick new initiative to tackle healthcare called United States of Care. The initiative is led by Andy Slavitt, former acting administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, who wrote an op-ed touting the new effort as one that is, quote, looking for solutions that have the support to last no matter which party is in charge of the government. But advocates of single payer or Medicare for All have slammed the initiative as attempting to undermine the existing movement for a government-run healthcare system that provides taxpayer-funded healthcare for free to all people. Slavitt's group, the United States of Care, emphasizes affordable care, but makes no mention of single payer. Instead, the website makes vague-sounding statements like, quote, healthcare is complicated, and so are its problems, many of them long-standing, but the solutions are within our reach. Joining me to help analyze all of this is Paul Song. He's a board-certified radiation oncologist, co-chair of the Campaign for Healthy California. He's on the board of Physicians for a National Health Program and People for the American Way, and he's our healthcare correspondent. Welcome back to the program, Paul.
Always great to be back.
So what do you make of this initiative? Is this something you were expecting? The attacks on the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare certainly seem to indicate that this country is still a very long way from addressing healthcare. But it seems as though what the United States of Care wants is something just like the Affordable Care Act, a kind of a compromise solution that addresses the complications of healthcare, nothing more than that.
Well, you know, it's still a little bit hard to discern exactly what they're about. They do have three major principles that they state, meaning that they want to make sure that all care is affordable, that there is protection from financial devastation, and there's political and economic viability, which is, I think, a catchphrase that they are going to try to emphasize. But I would say that if you're really concerned about an affordable source of care and protection from financial devastation while increasing access, then the true solution is single payer. What many of us have been told is that this group's main focus is purely to diminish single payer from any potential momentum that it's been gaining, from any opportunity to be part of the discussion for real solutions in our country. And that's the real genesis of this group. Now, if you look at the 52 members of the Founders Circle that are listed on the website, there is not one person listed there that is a single payer advocate. Majority of these people are either Republicans or what we would consider more moderate neoliberal Democrats, none of whom have ever expressed any interest in single payer, who have continued to protect the status quo, and at the same time have continued to say that universality for some way is always associated with increased insurance coverage. And what we know from the Affordable Care Act is that when you give people insurance, it doesn't mean they have access to care. So I do think that people need to be suspicious of this group. But at the same time, I think for those single-payer advocates that are listening to your program, this is a compliment to the growing strength of our movement. They can no longer dismiss us, and if anything, now they're going to have to spend considerable amounts of resources to try to diminish our argument.
So among the people who are part of this initiative, as you mentioned, a number of Republicans, Bill Frist, Republican Senate Majority Leader, Jim Douglas, former Republican Governor of Vermont, Dave Durenberger, former Republican Senator from Minnesota. And then you've got, people involved in the health insurance industry itself, Blue Cross Blue Shield CEO of North Carolina, Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina CEO Patrick Conway, and others as well. So the emphasis on affordability certainly shows that there is an admission that our healthcare system is broken, and businesses realize this too, right? I mean, with the recent initiative by Amazon joining forces with Berkshire Hathaway and another corporation to tackle affordable healthcare for their hundreds of thousands of workers, clearly this is getting in the way of corporations being able to make money because healthcare is just costing too much for their employees. So how do they plan on bringing costs down while keeping insurance companies alive? This was the great challenge of Obamacare, and it never managed to address that challenge.
You're absolutely right. And getting back to Berkshire Hathaway, Charlie Munger, who is the vice chairman of Berkshire Hathaway, who is by all means a Republican, has called our healthcare system a tapeworm on American competitiveness. And he went as far to say that all these other countries have single payer and we've got this cockamamie system that basically is taking away from money that could be spent on increasing wages, on money that could be spent on increasing R&D, on capital improvements. And so I think what's happening is the business community is waking up because they see their premiums going up yearly beyond the cost of any of the other goods. Let's not forget that prior to the bailout, General Motors was spending more money on healthcare costs for its employees than it was on steel to build cars. And here in California, State Controller Betty Yee just released some facts 2 or 3 days ago that basically said that the unfunded healthcare retiree liability for the state of California has gone up from $77 billion last year to $91.5 billion this year. This is unsustainable on so many levels, and yet you have people trying to continue to prop up an industry that really serves very little function now. They complicate our system. They take roughly 15 to 30 cents of every healthcare dollar away from actual patient care for marketing, administrative costs, exorbitant CEO salaries. So people are starting to realize there's got to be a better way to do, and that's what's happening with Amazon and Google and JP Morgan.
There was a very interesting op-ed in USA Today by a man named Richard Master. The headline was Amazon's healthcare experiment shows exactly why we need Medicare for all. And he said, as a founder and CEO of a mid-sized company that employs 180 people in the United States, I know this well, that the private insurance system is strangling the US economy. He said, in 2018, we will pay $2.8 million to insure our workers and their families. Year after year, we've wrestled with the cost of our healthcare plans. And despite trying every trick in the book, our per employee costs have tripled over the past 14 years. Essentially, they are paying $13.50 per hour per employee just to cover the healthcare benefit. That's more than a minimum wage, federal minimum wage. It's pretty incredible. So this one CEO says, you know, very clearly we need Medicare for all. Certainly Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JP Morgan Chase, the three companies that have gotten together to put their own initiative to explore affordable healthcare options, don't seem to be addressing Medicare for all as a solution. They said that they want to remove the profit incentive from healthcare, which is what single payer would do. But going back to this issue of United States of Care, how effective do you think this initiative will be? Because they clearly have the resources that the Medicare for all groups don't.
Right. So that is the big question. And I think coupled with the amount of money that the private insurance industry and pharmaceutical industry spends lobbying and buying off our elected officials, it's going to be a formidable challenge to the Medicare for All movement. Having said that, I think you see a sea change happening in our country, very much like marriage equality, where more and more people are waking up and realizing that the healthcare system that we've been told is the finest in the world is really not working for them, that the insurance industry really is controlling every decision in their lives, not the government. And I think what you've seen is that, just take an example, when Senator Sanders introduced his Medicare for All bill 3 years ago, he had zero co-sponsors. This year when he introduced it, he had 16 co-sponsors, 17 senators in total. So what used to be considered a political albatross, being in favor of single payer, you couldn't find an elected official, let alone say they were in favor of single payer, let alone co-sponsor something. But why all of a sudden are they bold enough to co-sponsor something? They see the sea change happening as well. They see their constituents being harmed by the system day after day. And I think what's going to happen is people are waking up and demanding more. And that's why you have these organizations that I do believe, once you look at where they receive their funding, I would be surprised if it wasn't from insurance industries and pro-insurance foundations. People are going to say that we, the people, are going to get the healthcare system we deserve. Now, you know, one thing people, if you look at the list, the head of Kaiser is also on this United States of Care. And Kaiser spends more money than any other health-related corporation lobbying in Sacramento here in the state of California. So we know, in the end, once you peel back the curtains, who is behind this. And people are going to just continue to wake up. And each year, more and more people are understanding that Medicare for All is truly the best solution for our country.
If you read the website of United States of Care, it sounds like it was written by a PR person. These are the four things that this newly formed nonprofit initiative will focus on in 2018, according to their website: harnessing on-the-ground learning, which is listening to personal stories and local experts. You know, I mean, we know enough of, we've all heard the stories of healthcare nightmares, but that they're going to spend time doing that. Providing policy support, developing new ideas. Not clear if any of those new ideas are going to include old ideas like single payer or Medicare for All. And then driving real change. Again, another vague sounding PR something written by a PR person. Now, Andy Slavitt is a former acting administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So he has led the government agency that funds healthcare for certain sectors of our population through taxpayer money. He should know better than anybody whether or not Medicare for All is viable, right?
Well, but let's not forget, when he was head of the CMS, he also was very instrumental in increasing the privatization of Medicare.
I see.
In terms of the Medicare Advantage plans. So you really had a fox guarding the hen house. At the same time, Medicare, under his watch, was forbidden from negotiating drug prices. And so as a result, I would argue that a lot of the decisions that happened under his watch were really driven by pro-insurance constituencies and lobbyists that basically put those policies in place by buying off elected officials.
Let's talk about a place where there is a government-funded healthcare system that people use, and that's the UK. Now, people in the UK have the National Health Service, and recently there was a protest around the NHS that Donald Trump seized on, tweeting, "The Democrats are pushing for universal healthcare while thousands of people are marching in the UK because their U system," I think he means universal system, "is going broke and not working. Dems want to greatly raise taxes for really bad and non-personal medical care. No thanks!" Exclamation point. That's what Donald Trump tweeted on February 5th. And activists in the UK were outraged because their protest was actually a Save the NHS protest. What did you make of this attempt by Trump to spin facts again?
Well, no one unites the UK more than Donald Trump. From what happened after his tweet, is both Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn both came out and strongly condemned President Trump's message as not being understanding of the healthcare system. If anything, the NHS has had its issues, but that is only because Theresa May and her party over the years have tried to bring in private free market solutions into their plan, and also at the same time had budget cuts. But by and large, that is a continued source of pride for the British people. Are there problems with it? Sure. But I will argue that no one ever goes bankrupt in Britain because they get sick. Whereas
So
in the
any
United
problems
States,
with so any problems with the NHS are because of privatization, not because it's a publicly funded system. In fact, if it were purely public, or if it were left alone, or its public funding was improved, it would be even better.
correct. And that's the real point. And I think if you really look at Theresa May's statement as well as Jeremy Corbyn's statement, they both condemned President Trump, and they both showed strong support for the NHS.
One person tweeted in response to Trump, saying, "I may disagree with claims made on that march, but not one of them," meaning one of the mar not one of the marchers, "wants to live in a system where 28 million people have no coverage. NHS may have challenges, but I'm proud to be from the country that invented universal coverage, where all get care no matter the size of their bank balance," which is an interesting thing, right? That Paul, that this is a fairly universally loved system. And because here in the United States, we have Social Security, it's very popular. We have Medicare, it's very popular among those who can get it. But if we were to try to pass those laws today, it would be really difficult. If we had Medicare for all, people would love it here in the United States. How much of this fight is purely cultural, ideological?
Well, I think it's obviously ideological. It's not based on fact. I think most people would, if they were off the record, would agree that single payer is the best way to go. But again, we have a healthcare system that has been deeply infiltrated by for-profit industries, whether it be the pharmaceutical industry, whether it be the insurance industry, that have used the billions of dollars that they have earned off the backs and at the expense of actual care, to buy influence up and down our country, not only in Congress and with legislators in Washington, D.C., but in every state. We see it here in Sacramento with legislators who are beholden to the private insurance industry and pharmaceutical industry. But if you really talk to people, and it's not just Republicans, it's also Democrats as well. There are people that privately would tell you that single payer clearly is the way to go.
Paul, what is the status right now of the effort to do state-by-state single-payer systems? Here in California, where you and I are, the most populous state in the nation, has attempted several times to have a single-payer healthcare. What is the state of California's effort to bring single-payer to its residents?
Well, sadly, we have a bill that passed through the Senate, SB 562, which was then placed on hold by Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon, and he termed it as being woefully incomplete. And the reality is that, yes, what did pass the Senate did not have specifics such as a funding mechanism in place and other specifics, which were always intended to be addressed in open committee hearings with through a thoughtful process. But really, what is woefully incomplete in the state of California is the political will to tackle our broken healthcare system. And that starts with Governor Brown, who this is the last thing he wanted to deal with. He put pressure on the speaker, and then you have obviously a fair amount of moderate Democrats in the assembly who get a considerable amount of money from the private insurance industry and pharmaceutical industry. So the political reality has made this very difficult. It does not diminish the overall need for a single payer system here in the state of California. We have 2.9 million Californians who are uninsured. We have 60% of people polled in the last Kaiser Family Foundation study that basically showed that they did not feel that they could be able to financially meet the needs if they got sick. So we have a lot of health insecurity here in the state of California, and SB 562, while it is has its challenges, obviously we would need to get a federal waiver to innovate our own healthcare system. We would have to address now the GOP tax legislation, which caps state deductions at $10,000. I mean, those are real challenges, but if there was the political will and desire, then our state could really come together and try to find a way to address this and make this work. But that's what's really lacking, not specifics of a bill. There's just no political will.
And the argument that we often get, even especially at the federal level, is that there's it would be too expensive. But of course, we're having this conversation at a time when the U.S. military is getting a massive bump in funding. And, you know, we're literally, I just sort of wonder if Americans, ordinary Americans, were given the choice between guaranteed health care for life and a new fighter jet for the U.S. military, whether they would choose that new fighter jet that that their lawmakers routinely seem to prioritize over the health and well-being of ordinary people. Paul, I want to thank you so much, as always, for joining us. I'm sure we'll have you back on the program.
Always great to be here. Thank you so much.
My guest is Paul Song. He's a board-certified radiation oncologist, co-chair of the Campaign for Healthy California, and on the board of Physicians for National Health Program and People for the American Way. He's also our healthcare correspondent. We've been discussing the new healthcare initiative, the United States of Care. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.